I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. I am Wesley Sykes, and on the other side of the ether is the Green Ranger. To my White Ranger, it's Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, birthday boy for hire.
I am so excited to do this. This is a debate that's like been long ongoing. I'm sure other people have weighed in on it, but I got to say, Wes, I think this is going to be the official debate.
This is interesting. When I was preparing my notes for this, I officially just embraced the fact that we're going to sound super nerdy, super dorky, debating some of the finer points here.
Yep.
And just kind of welcome it. You know, sometimes I fight those urges, those feelings, but today I'm out of the closet.
Good. Join me in this because I am totally embracing this. I'm very excited. Like this is one of those conversations that I think is not just an external debate, but an internal debate. We're not telling people what we're even talking about yet.
Absolutely. And I guess just to give you a peek behind the curtain this week, though, we are officially knee deep in hashtag spooky season. We are shifting gears to debate who is the better Power Ranger, the Green Ranger or the White Ranger, in honor of Nick's birthday.
I appreciate it. Well done, sir. Well done.
We got some good sounders here, courtesy of 101 Soundboard or My Instant Buttons, all that good stuff here. So, just give a little keyword search to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers if you want to do that at home. But before we get into that, Nick, what has been your favorite birthday gift?
This is a tough one.
I'm sure there's been a many.
Yeah, I've had a few over the years. I gotta say, though, I think the favorite one has to, despite the bullshit that he's put out into the ether now, like everybody knows this apparently, but my brother was born 3 years and the day after me. So the best birthday gift that I ever got was not having to share a birthday with his bum ass. He was probably my best birthday gift. As much as he likes to say,
that's very sentimental.
I try.
But if you could go materialistic, is there anything that jumps out?
You know what, man? The reason why I had such a tough time thinking about this one is because I don't know, like, which things I got from Christmas
That's it. Yeah. The only things I can pinpoint from, I remember my father would get me like the new system. You know, we got N64 for my birthday and then Xbox for my birthday too. So it was like Xbox, Madden, and Halo were the three combo games. And that was a lot of fun playing that there for the first time. I think maybe for a birthday party, my mom got me a bounce house.
Nice.
Those are great times in there. I mean, you talk about like, late 90s, early 2000 WWF Attitude Era. Like, you can really do some Stone Cold Stunners, some Rock Bottom, some Choke Slams out there.
And speaking of the devil, my brother just texted me and he had stuff going on.
So burning ears.
The core. What for me, you bring up the video game system. I mean, that, again, that's one I know I got for Christmas, but I'm glad you brought up the birthday party thing because. I think this is a testament to like when people say these cliches of like material doesn't matter and things like events are more important or who you spend time with. I will never forget. It was my 12th birthday party. It was the first time that I had like a thing with just my friends. I always had like family birthday parties sometimes for like 12. I mean, it's not like I was, you know, crazy old until it happened, but I might have a friend get invited, but it wasn't like, I wasn't allowed to have a bunch, and I'll never forget. We did it. There was a go-kart track in Westport that we went to. The Dream Machine. Remember that, right?
That's right on 44.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't know. I feel like there's one that's right on, maybe not 44, on Route 6.
Are you talking about the go-kart thing? Okay.
Yes,
that was on Route 6. You're absolutely right. And then the Dream Machine, you remember that from, that's what I expected you to remember.
No, what's the Dream Machine?
That was the arcade place at the Dartmouth Mall. Maybe it was, that was definitely before.
Oh, no, I do remember that. I do remember that. Yeah.
I forget what they turned it into now. I think it's like a kid's zone kind of thing now. But
you're right.
So we went there, and then we also went to Papa Gino's as well. Nearby.
Get a nice pepperoni pizza. Yeah, Papa Gino's was like the birthday spot there, you know?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, so that was very fond memories of, and I, like, that was like my whole, it was like my baseball team, the all-star baseball team was all there. And it was a surprise party too. That was probably the other reason why it stuck with me in such a way.
There we go. I love that. I love seeing that here. So let's shift gear. Well, you know, it's your birthday, so happy birthday and all that stuff. You know, when was it, over the weekend? When was the actual day of birth?
It's on Wednesday, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So a little early, a little preemptive happy birthday for you. But let's shift gears. Oh, I'm kind of freezing up here on my screen.
You are frozen on my end. I assumed that it was me that was creating the problems, though. But yes, you are frozen. I can still hear you loud and clear, though.
Oh, okay. It wouldn't even let me click anything before. So this is just craziness here.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears to trending now.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
I found this on Disney Plus, Nick. The first episode of season 2 of Loki just dropped. Ouroboros received an 8.6 out of 10 and an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, respectively.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Have you seen it yet? Have you watched
it? No, I haven't watched it. Sorry, yeah, that's a fair point. I haven't watched a single episode of it yet. So I obviously the only episode that's out. I'm thinking about the other thing that we haven't watched yet too, Gen V. It's great start. Awesome. Love to see it. I think considering like how people have been about the MCU, I will take into account that this is promising. Just because people tend to not like it as much now. I still can't see. You are actually invisible. I can see your background, but not you. That's weird.
I don't know what's going on with that. That's so odd, but I sound okay.
You sound totally fine. I'm trying to see on Twitter. So what do you think about the
I mean, I watched it again. I was pretty excited for this. This was one of my favorite show from the MCU Disney Plus series so far. So I was excited for season 2 here. I thought it lived up to it. You know, a lot of people say there was a lot of talking, there's a lot of explaining going on, but it's a heavy sci-fi show, and there's been some time between the first season, so I'm okay with kind of getting everyone back up to speed. But it's all really interesting. It's great performances. I love seeing Tom. I always want to say Tom Hiddleston or Thomas Middleditch or some combination of the two there. But
yeah,
Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson together are great again. Then we have the Asian guy whose name I'm blanking on, Ki-Han Jeong, or I'm not even going to attempt it, but it's something like that, who plays Ouroboros, Obi. He's really the highlight of the whole episode here because he kind of brings that kinetic energy, and he's kind of got some quirkiness to it, which I think kind of is a good microcosm for the show so far.
I saw somebody tweet out like that. I forget his character's name, but like, save him at all costs. Like, protect him at all costs. So yeah, he's probably not safe in this story.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Who knows? It's very interesting. I'm excited to see, because if you kind of think back to season 1, you know, they leave off with Ramona being a teacher or something like that. So, but you're kind of aware of her history with Kang the Conqueror, and that's something that's teased early on in this. And you know, everyone's coming to grips now with the merging timelines, or the branching timelines, I should say, which is causing chaos and everything. So yeah, there's a lot of strings to be pulled here. So I'm excited to see which direction they go in.
Yeah. If it wasn't for, I'll talk about the Discharge Depot a little bit, like what's been going on my end, not birthday related. It's just making it a little harder to get this on and get Gen V on. Still watching a ton of stuff, but just time of year and everything. But anyways, I'm so rattled that I like right now. And I know for our audio listeners it's bad podcasting, but I can see Wes's background. I cannot see him whatsoever. It is so strange.
It's weird. I don't know what's happening right now. Thank you, StreamYard, but we're dealing with it, though. We're dealing with it right now. So let's shift gears, but stay in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay. Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Found this all over the internet. This seemed to be the big news of the day, Nick. Deadpool 3 is keeping its May 3rd, 2024 release date. yes, amid so many pushbacks and everything else that's been going on and shifting due to the writer's strike, this is one movie that's staying in place. And it seems telling because this seems like it's really going to be a cornerstone of what's to set up with the Kang dynasties and Secret Wars.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. I'm not really, by and large, nervous about it. The only thing that really concerned me throughout the course of everything was the fact that they were still doing this. They were still shooting this during the writer's strike. And the only reason that was a concern, aside of obviously wanting support for the writers, but just that during that period, I saw somewhere, and I believe we talked about it, that Ryan Reynolds couldn't ad-lib because of the writer's strike going
right,
on.
Because that would be considered like a rewrite.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. Yeah.
That's the only thing that's really stuck with me regarding this show and it's like, and it's filming. I mean, I don't know how long, honestly, it's kind of funny. I have no idea how long it takes to first film. Like we hear about, it's like, you can be months on end or whatever. Then there's the editing and everything. So, you know, I hope he still had room to do that after the strike ends.
Well, I wonder how many people, you know, if they're already filming the movie, like who's going to rat them out? You know, who's going to rat them out if they do the extra takes? Like, I just wonder if that's kind of just like a spoken thing. Like, all right, we're doing this. We're just going to make more time for everyone if we rat each other out. But it's a big movie set. There's a lot of people on there. So I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. And also, I wonder within the script, too, like, you know, obviously there's certain moments where you have to be very descriptive and very specific about what happens. And it doesn't mean things can't change. But I would think, especially with, a comedy, you want to have like room where I don't know if they have just like for a certain scene, like Deadpool riffs with this being the focus. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then OK, maybe they didn't film those scenes yet or whatever. But I kind of hope that they have to work around it, like you said.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe it's easy enough just to go back and film. I don't know. I don't know anything about, you know, how a movie is made. But like if like you said, maybe that's the last thing that's waiting.
Yeah, they're smart. Filmed, you know, that, if that's an issue, then that would be smart to do. And also on top of that, this is not the CGI stuff, so it's probably mm-hmm. easy to just wait and we'll do this later, towards the end, because we like those other moments are probably not where you're worried about him, you know, ad-libbing anyways.
Yeah, and I heard an interesting, this is kind of an offshoot here, but of course, you know, like I mentioned off the top of this topic, Deadpool 3 is going to lead into, and we think have huge ramifications for Kang Dynasties and the Secret Wars. And, you know, a little rumor that I heard about those two movies was that Kang Dynasties was going to feature, you know, this current set of new Avengers going up against all the Kangs of the multiverse, right? Mm. And they lose. And then Secret Wars is getting all the old, you know, Infinity Saga Avengers with the Fox, X-Men, and everyone else kind of coming back into play to save the day and kind of beat the Kangs, right? Hmm. Now, if that's the case, that I don't know, like that seems like very on the nose meta commentary for the MCU greater, right? Like everyone's complaining about this. So, quote unquote, you know, Marvel fatigue, superhero fatigue, post Infinity War saga. These heroes aren't really getting it done like the first crop is. So now that they have to bring back in the old crop to save the new crop.
Mm. Yeah.
Doesn't that feel like kind of like on the nose?
Yeah. So it leads me to think that some of this is like, if this is out there that early in the process, then.
Yeah. I mean, who knows, right? Who knows at that point? But I just thought that was interesting. If that is the way they go, that feels like a little too meta.
Yeah, it's starting to seem like too. So, did you see that on YouTube, or was it like one of the Twitter?
I think it was one of like the Twitter rumor mongers.
Yeah, because it seems like more and more we're starting to see with these the Twitter people. Like, there was that one person that had like the Reddit profile image. It just it seems like more and more.
My time to shine.
Mm-hmm. You always remember. It's starting to seem more and more like their hit rate. Like they start off wicked hot, but then their hit rate takes a huge, huge hit, and they just they don't ever seem to recover. That trust isn't necessarily there.
I think they're pretty good though. I thought that account was pretty good.
I did, but I've started to see more and more stuff about like how they're bringing up like people now again, like everybody wants to see someone successful. Like there's always going to be a certain contingency of people that want to see them fail. But I just feel like I've seen a lot of tweets of like, this is the same person that said this. This is the same person that tweeted out that, like reported this, reported that. So like, I'm just, you know, whereas like with, like Casey's the only one that we've had on, and he pretty much, like, whenever his movie or show reporting, I feel like he's pretty conservative until it comes to, like, he actually has a thing to share. And
yeah, for sure.
From what we've been told, like what he's told us, I mean, I don't, nothing off.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to go back. Some of those episodes, you know, he really just kind of like opens up. So yes. I would have to, you know, go over if I really was concerned about it, you know, like with a fine tooth comb. I would say he has a greater than 50% hit rate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying with these other people. Like, just if I'm seeing all this other stuff where they're pointing out these people being wrong, that also Casey knows how to take a victory lap with the best of them. Like with these other people, maybe I'm just not seeing those victory laps, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. And everyone's got an axe to grind too, you know? So if someone's got a vendetta or something like that, you know, everyone's trying to tear each other down in the grift game.
Vicious space. That is.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah. I'm much more comfortable with commentary space. And even then, it's still.
Even then, you know, it's cutthroat, that Twitter cesspool. X.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Before we get to that, a little note about, I didn't care at all about the Twitter X changeover thing. You know, it didn't really bother me that much. Even like the new features and the layouts and stuff didn't bother me. What does bother me is having to go in my professional life, update everything in our publications instead of Twitter. It's now follow us on X. And that's been like the part that really pisses me off.
It just seems so weird. Like, we're just X now. That's it. Like,
it sounds pornographic.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like it's like almost like foreshadowing, like X, like we're trying to get rid of it. Like it's going to get Twitter's getting crossed out.
I don't think so, though. I think the app's here to stay.
I would think so, too. We've said so much and there's been so many times. I mean, like, even look at what happened with Threads. Like it's still there. I feel like there are some people who use it, but not like it. You know, like that little boom that it had, it's kind of stopped.
But it's not even comparable to Threads. I mean, this is where you get news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, this is where everything happens. I mean, not to get political or anything, but just over the course of the weekend, there's a lot of news and information and stuff happening over Twitter before anything else was happening, you know? Yeah,
Twitter's the place. There's no change in it. And that's why, that's also why it's like, you can easily say like, oh, it's going away because, you know, all the changes that have been made over the certain period of time. It's like, yeah, it's definitely like weird. It's definitely messy, but it's still very much here and everybody's still using it.
That's right. And you could say the same about Disney Star Wars. It's still very much here and everyone is still using. No, that's not the best segue.
No,
nevertheless.
Not the worst.
It's not the worst either. I'll take that. Somewhere in the middle. Ahsoka season one finale. Nick, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you pleased? Are you satisfied?
I can very much see myself rewatching this show at some point. I think it's not because I think there's a ton of necessarily Easter eggs or anything that I missed in the course of things. And maybe there are, and I just don't know. But for me, it was such this is like what's – I think that for – like adult fans of Star Wars, this scratches that kind of itch for you in the sense that it's dark. It has like a moodiness to it. I loved what Rosario Dawson did with Ahsoka. And I said it when this started that she had said Gandalf was one of her inspirations for this character. That was very much like on top of mind for me as I was watching this, very much felt it as well, she like, said things but wasn't so quick to always respond, always seemed to think, was cryptic at times. Really, really enjoyed what she did. Ezra was awesome. Thrawn was great. I think that why am I blanking on her name right now? The Mandalorian. She was solid. Keith's a big fan of hers. I've always kind of been like Sabine Wren. Jeez. I've always been kind of like, oh, she's, you know, solid. I didn't like her as much as he does, but the villains, Shin Hati and Baylan Skoll were outstanding. And that would probably be my only concern about the Ahsoka story or whatever going forward is, unfortunately, Ray Stevenson passed away and his character, his performance, that guy was so good. I almost want to say he stole the show. It's pretty close for me. So to not have like to have him pass and not be able to play the character, I would assume they're still going to recast because this is the first we ever heard of this character. But it's just the bar was set very high by Ray Stevenson, but I really enjoyed this show. Still seeing people complain about it because Star Wars fans are always do that.
Sure.
I don't get it. I genuinely do not understand. But hey, you know what? I loved it. I watched it, and I hope that everybody else did too.
I asked you last week, was this the best season of Star Wars television to date? And that was kind of up in the air, maybe with the Mando season, maybe with Andor, maybe with Obi-Wan. I can't recall.
But what those two. Up there.
But you know, we had to wait for the plan to be landed. So now that it's landed, is you know, where does it kind of fall for you?
It's so I think that Mando it's had three seasons, so obviously I have a ton of respect for that, and I think they've done a great job.
Well, just
think,
individual seasons.
I haven't thought about it in that lens. I want to say like you asking me now, I got to say top three for sure. Like
okay.
Andor's in that conversation, it might be there, and then it's Mandalorian. Obi-Wan is not there, Boba Fett is not there, but this, like, I very comfortably can say top three. I absolutely love that because I think it's at least better than one of the Mando seasons. I would take it over Andor. So yeah, it was really, really well done in a bunch of different ways.
Do you think the criticism from people were those who didn't watch the animated stuff, where this felt like the first? I think I heard Mac and Goose say this. So it's like that was the first episode. This was, you know, the sequel. And then whatever comes next would be the finale.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think if you were a fan of the if you watched Rebels, then I think you were rewarded in some ways. But it didn't feel like it was over the head like, oh, you wouldn't get this or you couldn't appreciate this. Like,
okay.
If you like Star Wars, you've probably heard about Ahsoka in some capacity. She was great. Awesome. Thrawn may be the guy who you can't fully appreciate, but I will say we didn't get like beaten over the head with Thrawn, and he was still really, really well done. And it was enough of him where you get his whole vibe. And I get maybe the Night Sisters, maybe some of that. Stuff that people wouldn't appreciate if they didn't watch Clone Wars. But still, like, it was, I just thought that everything about it was really cool. So maybe it's tougher to appreciate if you didn't watch Rebels, but I still thought that the characters were interesting enough, the story was interesting enough, and there was enough mysteriousness in the mix too.
Okay. All right. Well, I like that. Then Ahsoka season one, a success.
Yes, very
actually
much so.
A little note to tie in to the end of this trending now is that I believe Loki season two drew the second most viewers for a show this year, which I would think would only be second to Ahsoka or maybe Mandalorian season three. I feel like that came out this year too.
I think it did. Yeah, I think it did. Huh. That's interesting. I'm actually genuinely curious what the other one was, but that's awesome. That's gotta be Ahsoka's gotta be. That's been so.
Yeah. My first thought was Ahsoka there, but yeah, I wasn't sure. Everything gets like a time loop now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Loki, but let's shift gears to the comic book minute and say goodbye to Twitter. Choice.
By Twitter or X, however, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So okay. This week, it definitely feels like a lighter week. Good to give me and at least me a chance to check out a couple number ones from a few places that I want to look into that maybe I normally wouldn't get the chance to. From Marvel, though, this week we do have the 38th issue of Wolverine. From Image, we got the 22nd issue of The Scorched. And then there's a first issue that I'm in the middle of reading, haven't got a chance to finish. Off to a solid start. Obviously, I want to see where it ends, but it's called Midlife, or How to Hero at 50. After Midlife, it's all in parentheses. The writer of this is the co-writer of the series No One, which I've raved about a lot because that has an accompanying podcast that's been outstanding. And he's also the co-writer of Chicken Devil, which was like based on I haven't read that one in a while, but it's like a guy who owns a series of or owns a restaurant that's like a fried chicken restaurant. His family dies, And then in the course of things, he gets caught up in like this drug dealing that's not like, because of his
partner. And he cooks his family as fried chicken.
He wears a chicken. You're close. He wears a chicken costume and then ends up taking out like half the mob. So, but
I was right around it.
Yeah, totally. But speaking of acts of violence, Joe is back from Canada. He is now, he's no longer on the mend. And we are doing horror books to get into the spooky season. This week, I'm going to be talking about a book from Vault called The Plot. Read this while I was in parts unknown on my honeymoon. So very excited. I forget what Joe's talking about, but it's going to be all horror for us until November swings back around.
All right. The same could be said for us with the one exception of this birthday episode in particular. So if you are knee deep into spooky, hashtag spooky season like we are, come back next week as well. Maybe I'll actually be on camera.
Yeah, I wanted to tweet it out, but then I was like, oh, wait, you know, Twitter's going to go away later. But it's like, this is perfect. It's like it's Nick and Ghost Wes.
That's it. That's right. Maybe I'm the spirit of Jason, Tommy, Frank.
Yeah. Okay. No.
No. Jason David Frank, but he goes by Tommy.
Yeah, you know what?
The four names, man, it's tough.
Play the sounder, because there's something I want to say about Jason David Frank.
Let's go.
I had no idea.
All right, now let's go get him.
I'll tell you what, it's what the thing about that stuff about not seeing you is not knowing if you're about to talk. And I hate cutting you off, even though I do it plenty.
No, it's fine. I think we have a pretty good groove going right now.
Surprisingly, let's not jinx it though. Mm-hmm. So we're obviously doing a Green Ranger versus White Ranger debate. Obviously big Power Ranger fans. And we've talked about this is a conversation that gets talked about, I feel like, in passing a ton in the DSG too. Mac and Goo talk about it quite a bit. We did get, I think, Goo's opinion on some of it as well. But I love this character. And obviously, Jason David Frank is no longer with us. He passed just shy of a year ago.
Kind of recently. Was it that long ago? I thought it was closer than that.
It was late last year early this year, but it was still not long ago. And he's obviously missed. He was, especially for the Power Ranger universe, still doing a lot of stuff off and on. I mean, even like cameoed in the
once and always, not now and forever, right?
Oh, yeah. No. He cameoed in that the last like big screen movie that they had. But yes, they had the Green Ranger in there as well. But he was not featured in that. But, you know, like this is like, I never thought I'd say this, but like there was a chance that like to go see him because he was appearing at the Toy Vault for a period
of time. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was, Ed, who I don't know if he still listens to this, I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but he, one of the former guys of the Toy Vault, he became friendly with Jason David Frank. And I talked to him when it happened. And obviously he was very crushed by it. But man, I'll tell you what, I've never been it's just a regret I never thought I'd have in my life. Like, where it's like, oh, I got a chance to see, you know, a celebrity or an athlete or whatever. Like, it just, they're people like us, right? But man, I really wish that I had gotten a chance to, like, just go talk to him for 5 minutes and get to meet him in person. Because I honestly.
Maybe get a quick karate lesson. He's top notch.
This is true. Actual MMA fighter. Lord knows I could have used it. But yeah, it's just like it's one of those things I never thought. And I also thought like, oh, you know, I'm not getting him now, but I'll get him another time. It's fine. You never know.
You never know. Also, he's got five first names here. Jason David Frank playing Tommy Oliver.
That's a great call. Tommy Oliver too. Yeah. Wow. That's wild. That's a really good call.
That's nuts.
Let's
get into the tail of the tape. We had a nice eulogy right there. So give me the stats on the Green Ranger.
Yes. So as you mentioned, Wes, his real name is Tommy Oliver, standing at 5'11", weighing in at 165 pounds from Angel Grove, California in the United States of America. Strength level can lift at least 800 pounds right up over his head. So you can pick out anything in the room and he's going to get it up over his head.
I think this is from Ranger Wiki too. So like I legitimately looked this stuff up and sorry to interrupt here, but I wanted to just clear this up here. So it's only Tommy Oliver, Green Ranger, White Ranger, correct?
Yes. We are only talking about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Green Ranger and White Ranger. That's it. No, I mean, there's other Green Rangers in the mix. I feel like there was
Adam. Wasn't Adam the next one?
Uh, Adam might have been that. That might be, but then there's like other ones like that we see. He might have not been a Mighty Morphin one though. I think he
I don't think so. But I think that he was in that next generation.
Yeah, and I mean, and also it's worth noting that Tommy's been like three other Rangers too. I think he was a Gold Ranger. He was the Red Ranger at one point too. Is that Turbo that he was a Red Ranger? Anyways, superhuman powers, augmented strength, durability, stamina, agility, reflexes, and a third degree black belt. Weapons, Dragon Dagger, which is a melee weapon, of course. Everybody's familiar with that. Wes was playing it before, because you can't see him right now, but Wes has it. That's not a sounder. He knows how to play it. You need to keep that.
That's a good one, yeah.
But he can also project intense beams of concussion energy from his blade and activate and control the Dragon Zord and or Dragon Shield while playing the dagger like a flute. He also has the Dragon Zord. And there's another weapon, too, that is not that I'm drawing a blank on. Oh, the Sword of Darkness, which he does end up losing, but he had that for a period of time as well. But that is the tail of the tape for the Green Ranger.
Well, this might sound like I'm beating a dead horse here with the White Ranger here, but you're near a lot of the same stats. Real name, Tommy Oliver, standing at 5'11", a robust 165 pounds. Though I will say, the White Ranger looks a little beefier than the Green Ranger. The Green Ranger looks slender and sleek.
I tend to agree.
He's from Angel Grove, California, USA. His strength, but he can also lift up to 800 pounds overhead, presumably. Superhuman powers, he's innately good. He's got the white light. He's in addition to the powers of the Green Ranger that were just mentioned. But the weapons, he's got Saba, the Enchanted Sword, the Sentient Sword. Which controls the Tiger Zord, whether as a steering wheel or remotely. He can do move duplication with it. It can levitate. It's got lightning blast and energy, lightning empowerment. The White Tiger Zord has two modes here. One of the only Zords that can do that, by the way. Tiger Mold, very fast, emits sonic blasts. The Red Dragon Zord could even ride it. They can go for a spin together. Ooh. In Warrior Mode, it's the primary fighting form. It has a sword. It shoots white tiger thunderbolts from the tiger's mouth and its chest plate. Very, very badass.
Interesting. A lot of this stuff I feel like is going to come up again later.
It sure will. But that's just to familiarize everyone with.
True. Now, before we get into our opening statements, I did want to note this because I was bugging me. So Tommy has been the Green Power Ranger, the White Power Ranger, the White Ninja Ranger, Zeo Ranger v. Red Turbo Ranger, and then the Black Dino Ranger.
Okay, I think I had a Gold Ranger toy.
Yeah, is that the Black Dino one? Is that right?
I don't know. That feels like it was later on in the run. I feel like I might not have had it then, but I don't know, at some point.
Either way, I watched Mighty Morphin, and I feel like I watched maybe a little bit of Zeo, but I definitely watched Turbo, and it's probably because Tommy came back. I mean, for both of us, like, regardless of how you feel about Green versus White, your favorite Power Ranger character, period. Tommy Oliver.
Oh yeah, Tommy Oliver, absolutely. And again, Green or White doesn't matter. I probably told this story a couple of times. My mom was waiting with a group of other parents to get a shipment off a boat of Power Rangers, specifically White Power Ranger toys, because they were the hottest thing that winter, that Christmas. And I got one. Not only that, not one of the little 6-inch ones, but a big like 12-inch doll.
Yeah,
so it was a good one.
I do remember you telling that story. Yes. Yeah.
All right. But let's get into the opening statements, Nick. Let me set up my clock here.
Yes, I will lead us off in this one since I requested this debate, which I really appreciate that you allow me to do this.
It's the birthday episode. We did heavyweights a couple weeks ago, man. You know?
Yes, we did. Well, I know, but you felt like you really turned up your nerd meter or whatever.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely here. Okay. So 30 seconds. A minute on the clock here for the opening statements. Why the Green Ranger is better starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
On this very day that we are recording this episode, in 1993, the fifth and final part of Green with Evil aired on television, introducing the Green Ranger to all of us. And for those curious, the first episode of that that story, that five-part story, aired on October 5th. So it was consecutively every single day it was aired on TV. That's how big the Power Rangers were at that point. Since then, Tommy Oliver has been one of the most beloved characters, not in just Power Ranger lore, but all of nerddom. But today's discussion is not about Tommy standing in that sector. It's about Green Ranger versus White Ranger between his work both as a hero and a villain. Tommy Oliver's run as the Green Ranger was not only the best version of the character, but also the peak Power Ranger story, which is why I will, which is something I will further support as we go through this conversation.
Four.
Time.
Three.
Thank you.
Two.
Goodbye.
One.
All right. Now let's go get him.
Oh, man.
This is going to be fun. We got a lot of Sounders to play with here.
Oh, I got to find some of these. All right, you go ahead. You got your minute on your opening statement. You ready?
Yes, I'm all set. Let's do it.
Three, two, one, go.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, people of the jury, first of all, I thank you for taking the time out to listen to this today. We are all embracing our inner nerddom as we have this much needed and controversial debate. But I'm here to tell you today that the White Ranger is the only choice for who is the better Ranger. He's the best Ranger. It's not who's better, but who is the best. And he's got the better uniform. He's got the better weapons. He's got the better Zord, as I just outlined. He's got the better origin story. He's the better teammate. He's the one you want as a champion. These are the things that I'm going to address in the coming 20 minutes or so of this portion of the podcast here. The White Ranger is innately good. He's a good guy. If you want to be supporting evil people, you know, there's probably another someplace in the other country, in another world that you could kind of go to for that right now. But, you know, I'm here to support the good guys. My opponent here is going to be embracing the bad side and embracing the evil. And I don't know if you want to support that.
I caught up in the clock.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
All right. All right, so I know you keep bringing up the Zord stuff. We're going to save that for a little bit later in the conversation. Mm-hmm, we do have, I believe, six talking points throughout all this. Wes, I do want to ask you, obviously, we've both made pretty clear that we feel we love Tommy in general. Do you want to do counterpoints, or do you just want to go question by question and see maybe you want to make counterpoints or not?
Yeah, I'll like to keep the option to maybe do it and maybe not. We'll kind of bear that out.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan. All right. So let's start things off with who has the more compelling origin story between the Green Ranger and the White Ranger. Could you kick us off on this one?
Absolutely. I'm prepared. I got my whole list of notes here. Thank you to rangerwiki.com. I did all my research there. Watch some good videos too.
Nice. All right. So you will have 1 minute on the clock to explain why the White Mighty Morphin Power Ranger has the more compelling origin story of these two in three, two, one.
Well, he was literally rebirthed after having demon spells cast upon him and given powers by seemingly omniscient Man of the Clouds father figure to fight evils and lead his team of good guys. Who does that sound like? I don't know. How could you be against that? If you go against that idea, you might need to stop debating me and debate with G.O.D. Thank you very much. The White Ranger, he's a leader. He's not a villain. He's not an anti-hero. There's no wishy-washiness, half-stepping between it. You know what side he lies on, and that's the side of good. The Green Ranger's whole power set, hold on. The Green Ranger's nothing but evil. And if we're talking about an origin story, how could you trust anything or have any amount of faith in someone whose whole power set comes down to a candle that's just burning over time in space?
Five.
That's it. I secede my time, people of the jury.
Okay. Wow.
Would you like to respond?
I think I'm comfortable just taking my minute. Okay. I don't need to go and drag the White Ranger in this instance. Go ahead.
Wow. Okay. 1 minute on the clock for the better origin story being the Green Ranger starts right now.
Yes, we all love a good origin story where the guy starts off as good and then he is always good. I said I wasn't going to drag the White Power Ranger, but here I am starting off that way. But with Tommy, when he first gets introduced to us, he's just a nice dude who's a good martial artist, and then he gets picked to be the bad guy, and he has no control over it. It went from bad to good. Obviously, you mentioned before that he came in season one, which lasted forever, episode 17, that 5-issue series. And he was, again, targeted because of how awesome of a fighter he was. Instantly takes out Zordon. It also does it again in the course of that series, as much as they're able to save Zordon later. He also infiltrated a Megazord and was able to, while the Goldar was fighting the Rangers, you have all this awesome stuff with this villain, and then they turn him around and he turns into a good guy. He's nothing but remorseful, and then redeems himself throughout the course of, obviously, I think it's like 18 episodes until he loses his powers. But just
one.
That was annoying that I didn't get to finish that. That's my bad. Wow. I still got what I want to say. But anyways, do you need 30 seconds?
Yeah, I'll take 30 seconds, sir. Give me 30 seconds.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
I think what we need to do is delineate where the Green Ranger story ends and where the White Ranger story begins here, because this is an interesting point, an interesting flux in time here, because the moment that he enters, embraces the good side, he's the White Ranger. Is he ever good as the Green Ranger?
Yes.
I don't know. He's losing his powers at that point. He's weak. The more good that he gets, the weaker he becomes, right?
One. Wow. Okay. God. That was something. Jeez.
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, I know you are. I don't know where I'm going to address that, but I'll have to address it. Oh yeah, you know what? Maybe we'll address it in the last question. All right. So up next we have, who has the better look and uniform?
Okay. I like that.
I'll lead us off.
Sure. We got a minute on the clock. Green Ranger, better uniform, starts right now.
So first of all, we get the Green Ranger outfit, which obviously just like it pops in a way that other characters necessarily didn't. We kind of got used to everybody else. And the biggest reason that it pops isn't just also the green color and then that red diamond that we have at the center of his helmet, which is, again, an iconic helmet. We also get this gold, the dragon shield that he has over across his chest and his shoulders. And it's unlike anything else we've seen from the other Rangers, because they all have the same outfit, which as Tommy loses his powers later on in his Green Ranger run, which is what Wes is alluding to earlier with the candles, then we see him lose that. We see that he has the same exact outfit as everybody else, except for the dragon shield, which also we see some gold armbands in the mix in there as well. But for me, that was a huge separator for him from the other characters, and one of the big reasons why I was drawn to how much he had such a unique look. And on top of that, it was very useful.
2, 1.
Would you like 30 seconds, or do you?
No, I think we can just go a minute on this one.
Okay. Sorry, I forgot to have to cut you down. 3, 2, 1.
I love the helmet set of the White Ranger there. I think it looks a little bit more intimidating. Again, I think it looks, whoever the actor is, it looks a little bit beefier, fills out the suit a little bit more, makes it look a little bit more intimidating. Little known facts, a little history on the colors here. White is connected to purity, peace, and simplicity. Textbook good guy savior complex right there. Gold is the symbol of power and majesty, the leader. And he's the most powerful ranger. Black can symbolize restraint and also power. So he's restraining himself from going back to the bad side and using his power for good here. So those are a couple things for you. But the black, white, and gold color scheme is a classic color scheme. You can look to the Bruins. You can look to the Colorado Buffaloes, the New Orleans Saints, the Pittsburgh Pirates. All have great jerseys when wearing their white jerseys. It's classic. It's a clean color scheme. Everybody likes it.
2. Okay. Wow. I don't even. I don't need 30 seconds, but start timing me.
You want a rebuttal? Okay.
Go. I just want to say something. Let me know when I can go.
Yeah, you can go.
I just want it to be on record that, and this doesn't get past the jury, that my opponent decided to cite jerseys of sports teams, which quite a few of them are loser teams, in the course of his backing the white Power Ranger. I just wanted to make sure that that was known and highlighted for the follow up.
They're great jerseys. They're great jerseys.
Anyways, I'm good. That's my time.
Colorado Buffaloes are owning the NCAA Twitter sphere, social media game right now.
Yes, they are right now. Yes, sure.
The Saints are Super Bowl champions.
They have won a Super Bowl before. That is true.
You mean to tell me you don't like a script print Pittsburgh Pirates jersey?
I'm not saying I don't like the Pirates. Like, even as a team, I have a soft spot for the Pirates. I have a soft spot for what
you tell me. The Bruins, an original six hockey team, is a loser team.
Nope, not them. Nope.
I just named them all. I just named all the teams.
That was all the teams? Okay, well, Colorado, yeah. What they've done stuff lately, but otherwise they're irrelevant. The Pirates, by and large,
They're dominating right now. You know, what are we supposed to do?
That's great. So they've won for a couple seconds. They're irrelevant. And then the Saints won the one Super Bowl, and obviously Drew Brees had a good career, but it is...
Their applications are up 40% under Deion Sanders. People love Colorado. People want to go there.
Great. That's great. That's just now. I mean, it's good. So
they got to start sometime. You know,
it happened right, but it's one time. And then you look at the Saints.
They won a national title in the '90s.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm pretty sure they split one.
Okay. Didn't know that either way. By and large, irrelevant. And then the Saints.
Well, maybe you should do your history. You know.
Well, you're talking about the power. Don't throw stones. You live in a glass house. You're talking about Tommy never like having his powers and being weak. It wasn't until that like this. What was?
Well,
it?
It's not for me to decide, Nick. It's for the people to decide. I can throw as much shit up against the wall as I want, and
you know. Never let facts get in the way of a good story. I lost my place. My apologies.
We're spiraling off the rails here. We're talking about the Colorado Buffaloes, which are dominating right now. Whether they're winning or not, they're dominating in the 11th man, the 12th man,
which is what my opponent wants to happen. He wants to distract you all with these like different analogies and whatnot, just to try and help us.
Connecting dots.
Hey, that guy's funny. You know what? I want to vote for him. I don't know what he's talking about.
No, I haven't won one of these in how long have we done them? You know, like people don't like me.
You haven't put any polls out other than when Billy was on.
Well, and when I did, I came in last, so the people don't like me.
Oh, well, okay. All right. Maybe you're right.
What's the next category?
Who has a cooler weapon or weapon set? And again, this is not... is not including the Zords. That's something to be discussed, unless, of course, your weapon has an impact on your Zord. There's a little wiggle room in there. But you are up first on this one, my friend.
Give it to me, baby.
1 minute on the clock. 3, 2, 1.
Let's go get him.
All right. So we have Salva the Sentient Short Sword. Try to say that 10 times fast. I can't even say it one times fast. So as I mentioned in our opening statements, this controls the White Tiger Zord. You can use it as a steering wheel inside the Zord, or you could remotely include it. And while you're remotely controlling it, you can also do move duplication. So while the White Ranger Tommy is fighting on the ground putties, any sort of other hand-to-hand type villains, the White Tiger Zord can also duplicate those moves too. Very, very cool. The thing levitates, Nick. It levitates. Does your flute do that? I don't think so. It also shoots lightning and energy blasts. Okay. 15. Pretty goddamn amazing. And also, it's like having Jarvis in sword form. Like, that's pretty much how you got to sum it up there. He's breaking down moves for you. He's helping you do everything, figuring out problems while also cutting your neck.
Oh, how appropriate.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Do you want 30 seconds rebuttal, or are you just going to fold it into your time?
I think I'll just go with the minute here. I think I'll be okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. So better weapon for the Green Ranger starts in 3, 2, 1.
So we have the Dragon Dagger. I also don't want to lose sight of the Sword of Darkness, because that is a weapon that, while Tommy does lose it, we've seen it pop up elsewhere for the Green Ranger. But with the Dragon Dagger, of course, this is a weapon that he's able to utilize But on top, and again, talk about cool look, not bringing it up with uniform because we have this specific setting to talk about it, but it also, it has a very cool look to it. And then, as Wes mentioned, with Saba, he's able to use that for the White Tiger Zord. In this instance, he's able to use it as a flute and for his Zord, which is just, again, talk about, like, this is obviously a wild show in it, in so many different ways, but such an odd thing to have thrown in the mix, but became so cool. And then again, an iconic part, like you hear that tune, you know what's going on here. So for me, Dragon Dagger does have the slight edge over the, over Saba, which is how you pronounce it.
Okay. I don't need 30 seconds, but you don't even sound confident in your own answer there, people. You know, wow. maybe that can be stricken from the jury, but you know, I'm just saying.
No, I got my dig into. I think it's pretty fair. All right. This is where I feel like I felt better than any other category in this one. So
okay.
Prepared to lead us off. Sorry. Who has the better Zord?
Oh, you feel good about this one, huh?
Oh yeah. Yes, I
did. Everybody. Okay. All right. So you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So, better Zord, the Dragon Zord, starts in 3, 2, 1, go.
This thing can shoot missiles from its fingertips, and then it has that crazy tail, like that's like he whips around all the time, and it has like a drill at the end of it. The Dragon Zord is absolutely kick ass. And then also, you know, Wes is talking about how the White Tiger Zord, where Tommy, he can operate it from the outside. Same situation here with the Dragon Zord. He can operate it from the cockpit or he can operate it from outside. Doesn't even need to move around to operate this thing. All he has to do is play the flute and he's good. We have Dragon Zord battle mode for this
30 seconds
for the Dragon Zord. And that's when it's combined with the Mastodon, Triceratops, and Sabertooth Tiger. And he can also turn his tail into a power staff when he's in that form. And then there's also Mega Dragon Zord, which obviously everybody knows that, when it's combined with all the dinosaurs from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So versatile, looks cool, and obviously, again, it can be operated in an interesting way, just like Tommy with the White Tiger Zord.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, well done. Well.
I would like 30 seconds to respond here, please.
Ooh, okay. 3, 2, 1.
The Dragon Zord is clunky. It's hard to operate. All those extra things that you mentioned, it could be the Mega Dragon Zord or the Mega Zord or the Ultimate Mega Zord. You need other people to do that for you. Okay. You need some sort of a group. But if we're talking about better solo action, the Dragon Zord is clunky. We all saw Godzilla. Ken. Imagine Godzilla in like 1990s robot form. Like it's just clunky. Not very versatile. You know, it needs that tail there to catch its back because it can't turn around.
You just helped me with a Godzilla Godzilla comparison, I think.
Well, come on, that's obvious, right? I mean,
yeah, of course. All right, you have 30 seconds on a minute on the clock, pardon me, for why the White Tiger Zord is the better of the two Zords. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, to me, this isn't a question. This is the ultimate battle weapon here because of its two modes. In Tiger mode, it's fast, it's agile, it can actually do things, it shoots off sonic blasts, it can be used to aid the other Zords, a la allowing Red Dragon Zord to ride it. But the creme de la creme, the thing that really separates the White Tiger Zord from its competitors is Warrior mode. Nick mentioned that, you know, you could control all these things, but you need the help of the other Zords there to make it an ultra mega giant Zord there. Warrior mode for the White Tiger Zord goes solo, mano-a-mano. It's its primary fighting form. It has a sword. It shoots thunderbolts from its chest. It's the only one that can formidably fight on its own. No one else can really do that because you don't have the dexterity. You don't have the leg movement. You don't have the ability to do roundhouse kicks from Tommy Oliver, a third degree black belt.
5.
I rest my case.
Wow. I'm not going to take the full 30 seconds, but I do have a thing to say in response. So go ahead and start the clock.
I got you started.
Okay. I just want to point out there again, love the White Ranger, and the White Tiger Zord is cool, but we already have a Tiger Zord in the family. We have the Sabertooth Tiger already. So 15. Just saying it's a little redundant to have another Tiger Zord in the mix when you and then you have the Dragon Zord, totally different from everybody else. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, like the red Dragon Zord. With the T Rex.
That's not the that's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's not a dragon.
They're all dinosaurs. At that rate, that they're dinosaurs.
Every and all dinosaurs are the same. That's yes. What you're telling me. Triceratops
yeah.
And
yeah, I'm gonna put them all into a box. Yeah.
Well,
I'm not sure if there's any dino rights groups around there that are gonna cancel this podcast, but I feel comfortable saying that.
You know, while you were going through your point, something you said triggered a thought in my head. This is essentially like an original versus sequel. I didn't think about it like
it is actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Had no idea as we were going through all this.
Which I was thinking, if you know, we like this debate stuff. What I think we could do is a spinoff of this. If we do a little time out from the debate for a moment, is if we took movies that were very similar to one another, like Armageddon and Deep Impact that came out around the same time, or It Takes Two and A Parent Trap, or any other movies, right? There's a bunch of others out there. I think whatever. Yeah. Earthquake and Dante's Peak. You know, those types of movies. We could do those types of movies and compare and contrast them.
Why do I feel like you've actually said this idea before? Like, and we just didn't do it, but that feels very.
It could. Maybe that was, put back into the tickler file and I just got tickled.
Well, there you go. So now I absolutely am behind this 100%.
All right. Okay. All right. I like this. See, we can even come across from the aisle to reach and make some sort of an agreement here. So even though we're fighting, we can still make peace.
And I think too,
I think everybody should take a note from that.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I think that though, to that end of like talking about similarities, we could also do with like characters that maybe aren't the same like carbon copies of each other, although we could do that, but ones that are very similar, like, you know, if you wanted to do like Captain America, Superman, like, you know, Boy Scout comparison, like
that. Sure. Kind of okay thing. I like that
because I'm enjoying this as much as we're getting kind of nasty here.
They do get nasty, and then you don't even want to hear the type of fights that we get into off air. I mean, it's really no holds barred.
All right. I think this is something that you're going to, this question, speaking of getting nasty, is one you're going to have a little bit of fun with. I had to put it in there because it just made too much sense. Wes is usually one that comes up with the questions, and I did it this go around up for obvious reasons. Which of the two is the better teammate to the other Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Wes, you lead us off with this one. You ready to go?
I am.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
I mean, this isn't even a question. My man was blessed by Zordon to be a leader. He was literally birthed to be a leader in Christ-like fashion. The Green Ranger, on the other hand, is a villain. He tried to get with Kimberly, which we all know is Jason's main girl. He's been squeezing on her for a while. Speaking of Jason, he always tried to one-up Jason, who was the leader of the Power Rangers before Tommy got there. And all of a sudden, this Green Ranger comes in. He's going to try to beat him in a karate race. You know, he's going to try to beat him out of his karate race, karate competition. He's going to try to, that would be interesting to be, I would like to see that.
You're burning time, 40.
You know, is he going to try to take his spot as the leader of the Power Rangers? No, man, that's not what leaders do. They embrace everyone and build people up. And that's what the White Ranger does.
Okay. That's it. All right.
That's it. That's all I need. Yeah. It's simple.
All right. Now let's go get him.
All right. I'd like my 30 seconds, please.
30 seconds. Okay. 30 seconds. You know, you got a minute 30 on the clock. How's that?
No. Can I have my 30, please? Can I just?
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
I have a, I need to say some stuff against your thing and then I'll get to my supporting.
Gotcha. Okay. 30 seconds starts right now.
So I just, again, want to point out that the defense or support here for the White Ranger is to just tear down the Green Ranger in every way, while also spreading some fake news in the course of all that, because there was a period in time where Tommy was a good guy. I know it only lasted so many episodes because his introduction lasted 5 episodes, but again, like he was a good guy. He was a great teammate in the course of things. And I'll talk about that a little more in a second, but then you're talking about the White Ranger, like in Tommy, the Green Ranger wanted to take the lead. The White Ranger, he becomes the leader. That's the whole thing. What? He took it.
All right. Okay. Now let's go get him.
I'll take my minute now. Let me know.
Okay. Right. All right. 1 minute on the clock starts right now.
this guy was so missed when he lost his Green Ranger powers, not just by fans, but by his teammates, that they were able to bring him back, of course, as the White Ranger. And that's despite the fact that he was controlled by Rita and was an amazing villain for 5 episodes, which maybe that only lasted the course of a week in Ranger time. But despite all the things that he did, he gained their trust and they relied on him so much. And they were willing to risk everything as his powers were dwindling in those, in that 2-episode series, like end to the Green Ranger run. And then also, I haven't talked about this at all because I didn't want to get too deep in these weeds.
20 seconds but left.
We have the whole, all the comic books that I go and rave about, and there's the whole Lord Draken saga. He gets killed at one point while he's Green Ranger, and then somehow manages to overcome that. Obviously, happens in comics all the time, and then save the multiverse. And again, you talk about the Zords too, and how like, oh, he needs to rely on other people. Five, it's a great four, teammate. What are you talking three, about?
Two,
one. All right, now let's go get him.
Now, is Lord Draken like a combination of the White and Green Ranger?
It is, yes. So, short answer is yes. And that is in the universe where he was the Green Ranger, which happens in many of the universes. He's the mm-hmm. Green Ranger.
It's like a Nexus event almost.
Yeah. And he doesn't lose. And when he never loses the power of the Green Ranger when he gets the power of the White Ranger, as he kills Rita in the course of things in his universe. And then, so he has both powers.
So he's like kind of like a gray Jedi.
Yeah. Except he's like he's 100% a bad guy.
Oh, okay. All
yeah. 100% right. A bad guy. And also to that end too, it sucks that we haven't got, like, I would love to see them try and make a run at a show for this. Like, he really would like animated version because, you know, I don't want to spoil it for people. You should really read Shattered Grid if you like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I'll tell you later, though.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited. Yep. I don't need 30 seconds. I think I did enough slandering and let my points stand on its own there.
You did a lot of that. Okay, so that brings us to our last question before our closing arguments. And I'll go first on this one. Who would you rather have as your champion? So we're talking like Game of Thrones style. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're putting them out there against, you know, honestly, one another.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. So 1 minute on the clock. Who's your champion right now?
All right. Yo. So no, obviously, like, I feel very confident about Tommy and his capabilities. Obviously, we're talking about the Zords. I do think he has the better Zord, a more versatile Zord. Wes's notes about clunkiness are totally fair, but he has a lot of room to work with because he has range with the missile fingers, and then he has the tail that has a long reach and obviously a lot of control. He's powered through immense adversity, the mind control, and also in that time where he was under Rita's control, he was able to kick all the other Rangers' ass too. He kicked their ass. He climbed into a Zord and kicked their ass. He kicked their ass separately, beat Jason a handful of times and all that too. And also, we've seen, as the Green Ranger, he can grow. Like, he can, like, make my monster grow. We've seen he can do that too. So he has a lot of capabilities in there. And again, being on top of being an awesome fighter, which obviously the White Ranger brings to the table. Done. Time.
Done.
Thank you. How much time did I have left on that?
About 10 seconds.
Okay, good. All right. I want to make sure I didn't waste too much. All right. Do you want 30 or do you just want to go right into it?
No, just give me the minute. I'm ready to go.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, first things first, he's a good guy, so there's that. You want a good guy in your corner. You don't want a bad guy who may welch out on it. He may steal your money and just never show up to the champion because he's controlled by someone else, because that is the predominant story of the Green Ranger. He's mind-controlled by someone else. And if I'm not mistaken, according to some YouTube videos that I watched, the White Ranger actually fights an evil version of Tommy as the Green Ranger, and he outwits him to save the other Rangers from colonial times. So we already have a 1v1 battle where the White Ranger already wins. As I mentioned before, the White Ranger looks a little bit thicker than the Green Ranger, maybe able to take more blows, maybe also to give out a little bit more power punches here. So that's another thing. But I never want a bad guy to fight for me. I will fight for myself before I let a villain fight for me. That's good. It. Yeah, right. I'm good.
Now let's go get him.
All right. That brings us to our closing argument on the Green Ranger, White Ranger debate. Wes, would you like to lead us off on this?
Yeah, topic? I will. I will.
All right. So do we do 45 seconds on this? Or a minute?
Let's do 45 here. That's nice. This is a different timing.
All right. Sounds good. 45 seconds on the clock to close out your arguments for the White Ranger. 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, people at the jury, thank you for listening to our arguments, and thank you for bearing through this nerdy conversation here. But as I think I've outlaid, the White Ranger has a superior outfit, better look, better weapon selection for melee action, better Zords, more versatile Zords. He has the better origin story, because his origin story starts at the death of the Green Ranger. So like the Green Ranger, again, not very good over the course of his life there, but the White Ranger, entirely good. He's a godlike figure. He's the better teammate because he's not trying to take away everyone's shine here. Not trying to sleep with other people's girlfriends. And he's the guy that I want to be a champion because he's pure of heart. I got that all in there. I feel good about that.
Green Ranger might cut you off. I heard he's a real asshole.
Well, yeah, it's true. You got to be careful. Don't bring your girl around him, you know?
Slick back hair.
He does kind of have slick back hair.
He later gets white shorts, right? And probably has a white couch at some point.
He looks like he might drive like a white convertible, too. Maybe with like an eagle emblazoned over the hood. Yeah. Some cool flames coming out the sides. 45 seconds to wrap up your closing argument, Nick, starts right now.
All of my praise for Tommy is founded on 18 episodes where we have this character playing the Green Ranger. And then, of course, there's the 3 episodes that Wes did cite before. That was a clone of Tommy, so I don't think that we can fairly count that as a one-on-one. But still, that's how impactful that character was. And oh my God, I'm talking about like it's 1993. So what's that? This is 30 years later. We're having this debate still stands. And yes, it's partially because of the White Ranger, but it's also because of the Green Ranger and the amazing start we had with this character. 35. As we know, with a superior origin story that Wes has kind of tried to besmirch in some ways a little bit with false facts. Superior weapon, superior Zord, superior fighter. Okay.
All right. That's it. So maybe I'll put a poll out on Twitter this week. Maybe not. Who knows? But that's all the more reason to go to our Twitter page at @CMM_podcast and see if I actually did upload a poll. And if I did, go vote on it. It'll probably be Nick, but go vote on who the winner is.
I've never been more excited. I always say it. Like usually I say you're talking about how you keep losing, but usually I say it out of fear for not winning. I really hope that everybody like listened to the argument and like and votes on it that way, because I'm genuinely curious, because I do think this is a coin flip for most people who give a shit about this conversation.
Now, what I will say is the helmet is undeniable of the Green Ranger.
Mm.
Yeah, that is a great helmet. It's a badass helmet. The White Ranger helmet looks kind of like a bear, like a cubby bear.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, and sometimes sometimes it looks like he has like beaver teeth.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I still love it. Don't get me wrong. I don't think about that often, but again, where I'm trying to be negative, I don't want to bring that up because I don't want to drag it too much. I don't think I need it.
Sometimes it's good to drag, get through the mud, you know?
Yes. But
cleanest animals hang out in mud.
I will say again, like if you really like these characters, where Wes and I did that review of the Power Rangers special that we got on Netflix recently, which wasn't that great. If you really like these characters and you want to spend more time with them, go read the comics. It's been honestly for me, it's been huge. And start with Kyle Higgins' run over at Boom Studios, and then just read everything up until now. It's been such an awesome experience for me getting to be around these characters and get new stories and have them be like, you know, a little more done a little bit, I guess, improved. I was just saying improved from what we got as kids.
All right. There we go. That's it. That's the Power Ranger birthday debate there. Green Ranger versus White Ranger. Let's shift gears now over to the Discharge Depot, because the train is leaving the station.
choo-choo bitches.
What'd you do this weekend, Nick?
I'll tell you what. I wish I was on a train this weekend because we had to go to the Buffalo area for a wedding. Had an outstanding time. It's just that it's a long ass drive.
Did you get some Buffalo wings?
We did. Yes, we did. So we were just outside of Buffalo. We got in on Friday, had the wedding, Saturday, and just stayed in that area. Like, again, it's like a town outside. Next day we go to Niagara Falls. After that, we get some Buffalo wings. I think it's Gabriel Gate or something to that effect. I'm sure if we have any Buffalo listeners there or people who've been to Buffalo, they may know what I'm talking about, but outstanding wings there. Had a really nice time. And also, I have a buddy who's a Buffalo Bills fan, and I texted him. I checked off my bucket list that I went to a Buffalo bar on the day of a Bills loss.
So, there we go. Back in the day, that could have been any Sunday that you choose.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but it was that was a tough one for them. Obviously, losing to the Jags in London, but not the most surprising occurrence. Not because of anything to do with the Bills, just because of the.
Well, I think it's kind of to do with the Bills. They left. The planning team, you got to fire whoever was like the George Costanza of the Buffalo Bills, like the traveling secretary, like they just screwed up there. They left this week. So they were all tired. Like I think they were shut out in the first half or the first quarter or something that. Like they were sleepy.
Well, sure. But the other thing is, too, that the Jaguars were there the week before, too. They were in London the week before. So they got a huge advantage. It was honestly whoever scheduled it that way. Not cool. Not fair. Like the Bills had a very much an uphill battle there.
Yeah, but that's like they kind of play there. Don't they go over to the London a lot? Like the Jaguars, they go every year. Like that's kind of like a home field for them.
They've been going for a bit, but I'm just talking purely on time zone difference. You're there for 2 weeks straight. So and then the Bills are there for a week. The Bills have no time to adjust.
Like, well, they should have went earlier. They should have went as soon as the game ended. Pretty much.
But even if they did, they have a week. I don't know if you're going to adjust that much in 2 weeks. I'll tell you from experience, you adjust a ton. It's going to be the Jags are probably going to – I don't know if the Jags are playing this weekend, but they're going to suck.
Yeah, we'll see. What else you want? You got spooky season going on.
Yes, which is why I haven't been able to keep up on some of the comic book show-related stuff of late. But finally watched Amityville Horror, the original one, so it's a 1979, which my dad has always said – was the scariest movie for him as a kid. Good story, obviously a different time when it was made and everything. It like some spooky shit, but it was not as scary as I expected to be. Obviously the crown jewel for Tim Weisberg as well too, in terms
of course
stories. So I enjoyed it, but it did not scare me like I thought it was going to. Rewatched Beetlejuice, obviously a fun movie to go back and watch this time of year. The Craft, which I've never seen before. It stars Vicky Valancourt from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yes, that's right. You're all into the witch stuff here.
Quite a bit of witch stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we got Midnight Mass. I mentioned that we finally finished that. Amazing. Like just it held this 2 years later, I think, that we're watching this, and it's still just as good as it was last time. Actually, it's better because we got a lot of stuff. We experienced a lot of stuff we didn't before. And then we just started, Lauren's watched it before, but Haunting of Hill House, which is supposed to be the scariest shit ever. First episode was freaky. So it's a TV show, huh? Yes. Yes. I was going to say,
this sounds weird. Wasn't there a House on Haunted Hill?
There's something like that. Yeah, I've not seen it, but yes, there's something like that.
That's weird. I'm not sure if I like it. Now, I would make that mistake just trying to think of the original name of the movie. Now that there's two different titles, I could be having a whole different conversation with someone like, oh, did you see Haunting of Hill House? When I really mean House on Haunted Hill. And then we're having two different conversations. It's crazy. It's chaos.
And I'm pretty sure Stephen King's son has a pen name of Joe Hill. And I think that DC, for a time, had published a bunch of his stories, and they were called Hill House Comics. That threw me off. So that's another thing.
I'm sure a lot of people also were thrown off by that as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I watched, this was on the top of my trending list on Netflix here, Reptile. So this just came out, 2023 movie, starring Benicio del Toro. I think he had a writing credit and a producing credit on this. Also starring Justin Timberlake and Alicia Silverstone. Very, very good murder thriller type of whodunit, and then with a surprise ending twist and everything. So very good movie. I enjoyed it. A little long, but it was good. And it's an I love Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah.
I like Justin Timberlake as an actor. He does kind of a good job playing like this like squirrely yuppie type of guy. And Alicia Silverstone plays a down ass chick. So, you know, that's good stuff. So I would recommend that if you're into that, like murder cop thriller, whodunit type of thing, highly recommend it.
Okay.
Also watched a little bit of My Best Friend's Wedding. I think this was on Netflix too, with the wife last night before we went to bed. Have you seen this at all?
No.
Julia Roberts is in it.
I don't think so. No.
It's a pretty famous, pretty popular movie. I always remembered it for its scene of Say a Little Prayer for You. And they're all singing, Say a Little Prayer for You, all in a restaurant and everything. The whole restaurant breaks out. It's a pretty cool scene. But I was going back and watching it. Julia Roberts is, pardon my French, a huge bitch in this. She just goes, she had this guy who was like locked in the friend zone for 9 years. And they were like, oh, if we're both not married by the time we're 30, we'll marry each other. Well, 30? They're both 30 or whatever. I think it's 28.
I'm not questioning you. I'm saying like that sounds like a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, they're like, they're both that age, and then they get a call. The guy's like, "I'm getting married." She's like, "I'm upset because I'm losing the guy that I kept in my friend zone, who I was keeping on ice for all this time. Now I want to go get him."
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I have seen this. That sounds
familiar. Cameron Diaz is in it. She's the bride. She's okay. Like, but Julia Roberts is just an awful person, and it's like how like she was like America's sweetheart through this, and like this one, I think this movie had a portion of that to do with it. You know what I mean?
Huh.
And it's like, she's horrible in this. Like I would hate this person.
Huh? That's
it. But there's some funny hijinks in there. Some good stuff.
Yeah. Still sounds like it's, I feel like I have seen this or maybe seen parts of it. It's just like now that you're bringing up like the
husband's a sports writer for the Chicago White Sox. So that's kind of interesting.
And well, God bless him for that. Jeez.
Yeah. He was marrying the daughter of the owner of the White Sox.
Oh, they got white and black uniforms. I'm sure that you like them. So there we go. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course I do.
Just got to sprinkle in a little bit of gold and you'd be.
There's no gold in there though. So yeah. The color scheme's a little off. next week, Nick, next week, if you like this debate format, I believe we're sticking with it. We're going to be doing 28 days later versus 28 weeks later. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yes, that is correct. Close though.
I was right around. See, it's getting to the end of the night here, Nick.
I'm worried there.
Whew. But yeah, so that's, we're going to stay in hashtag spooky season, get back into it, with another original versus sequel debate. We might get more of those later on, so mm-hmm. keep your peepers popped. But till then, Nick, same bat time. No, new bat time, same bat place.